Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and God tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. I'm Pastor John Allen, lead pastor here at Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We've been working through the Lord's Prayer, and I thought what we'd do, we have this Sunday and next, is let's remind ourselves of the Lord's Prayer. Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we deal with the sixth petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The fact of the matter is that we all face temptation, and we all struggle with evil. So as we get started, I thought maybe we could think about, what's your greatest temptation? No, don't say it out loud. Or whisper it in somebody's ear, okay? Just think about it, okay, and maybe you want to list them out. What's your greatest temptation? What comes to mind? For me, my greatest temptation is ice cream. Ice cream. Now, let me tell you how bad it is. I cannot go down the frozen food aisle at the grocery store. We cannot have ice cream in our house, because if there's ice cream there, it's like crack cocaine to me. In fact, that's making me shake. Would you take that down, please? Thank you. All right. Man, that's... it is so bad for me that, and I haven't tried it yet, but I'm thinking about it, I could put ice cream on barbecue ribs. Now, I'm joking a little bit here, but temptation and evil are no joking matters. They destroy life like ice cream, at least in the volume that I can eat it, can destroy my health. And here is kind of the truth of evil and temptation. They are a part of a broken world. And Jesus knows this as he's teaching his disciples how to pray. He knows that we are caught between the brokenness of Eden, the creation as God had intended it, and the restoration of God's kingdom, and the coming of the New Jerusalem that we read about in Revelation. We are in the in-between time, in the time of temptation and evil. And what this phrase does for us is it recognizes God's power over evil and solicits God's help in terms of dealing with temptation. It addresses human struggle and reminds us that we are not alone. It is both a cry for help and an affirmation of God's power. And God offers us deliverance through this prayer. It connects us to a strength that we don't even realize that we have. There's a story about a man who was, he worked the 4 to 12 shift in the evening, and he was close enough to his work that he could walk home. One night he was walking home, he was tired, and he would always walk by the cemetery, and he realized that if he walked through the cemetery, it would cut about 15 minutes off of his walk, and so he took a shortcut. Well, it was dark, and he fell into an open grave. And try as he might, the sides were too steep, it was too deep, He couldn't get out. So he finally decides, well, certainly there'll be a worker that will come around the next morning and they'll find me and help me get out of this grave. So he pulls his coat up around him and finds a corner of the grave and goes to sleep. Well, a little while later, another man falls in the grave. And he wakes up and he watches and listens as this guy is trying to get out of the grave. You know, trying frantically to get out. I mean, can you imagine being stuck in a grave in the night? And finally, the guy says, you know, I got to help this guy out. And so he says to him, you'll never get out that way. Well, the guy didn't know he was there. You'll never get out that way. Well, he did. Today's sermon is about avoiding the holes of temptation and evil. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are not only praying for a way out of the holes, but asking God for deliverance to never fall in them. In the Revised Standard Version, the translation that is used there is, and do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Now that's kind of different than our traditional, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray, lead us not into temptation. But the problem with that phrase, lead us not into temptation, is that it seems to indicate that it is God's nature to lead us toward temptation. Go, God, please don't lead us toward temptation. Lead us not into temptation. It seems to fly in the face of a God who is good. And if God is good, then God should not be tempting us. Surely there's something wrong with the wording of what Jesus is trying to teach us here. Lead us not into temptation. Do we believe that God leads us into temptation? There are those traditions within the church that do believe that God leads us into temptation to test us. Some kind of cosmic test that we need to pass in order to get into heaven. But that is not what Jesus is teaching his disciples. Let's look at the original language. Just look at the Greek. The Greek phrase may esikinkes hemas, which I'm good at translating, but not necessarily pronouncing, so I probably said that wrong. It's translated, lead us not. Lead us not. But the better translation is, lead us away. Lead us away. As we've gathered more and more Greek from that particular time, we've gotten better at translating. But some of these traditional translations, they hang on, like the Lord's Prayer. It's not lead us not, it's lead us away from temptation. And together, the translation should read, lead us away from the time of trial. I like the way the New Living Version puts it. Do not let us yield to temptation. And I especially like the message, keep us safe from ourselves. Wow. This is why James says in his letter these words about temptation. Jana read them for you. No one, when tempted, should say, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and God himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Temptation comes not from God. It comes from us, from our desires. Our desire to be in control. Our desire to get what we want. Our desire to grab what we think is best for us against what might be better for us. Temptation comes from within. And they come from within in those moments when we think that we can control and manipulate our environment for our best situation. And here is, if you forget everything else about this sermon, remember this. Jesus is teaching us that God is our partner in the spiritual battle against temptation. Jesus is teaching us that God is our partner in the spiritual battle against temptation. We can lean on the strength of God's presence in the battle to do harm to our lives and those we love through selfish ambition and the need to control life. And we have to admit, I mean, you may say, well, you know, that's it. Come on. We all take those small steps, desiring our own way at the expense of others. And each step leads us closer to thinking only of our own desires. We need God's help. And the Lord's Prayer seeks to align us with the ways of God. Therefore, O God, lead us away from temptation. Protect us from ourselves. The second phrase, deliver us from evil. Matthew, again, our Revised Standard, extends it a little bit. It says, and do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Or more traditionally, deliver us from evil. Again, there's an ambiguity in the translation. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. Because what we find when we look at the Greek is that it's much stronger. There's a much stronger message of protection and deliverance here. The Greek word rumaia, which is translated deliver or rescue, comes from the root word to draw oneself, to protect. And the root word indicates in its use here that God is willing to stand in the way to protect us. And there's an intimacy there. But God is not just standing there, but God has God's arms around us the way that one would draw a child close for protection and care from a threat. The Greek word poneros, translated evil or evil one, and it's unclear from the usage whether it's a personified devil or evil one or whether it's more of a cosmic or corporate evil that exists in this world. And really, for me, it doesn't matter. Evil exists in the world. No matter what, the prayer asks for protection from evil. And it's clear that Jesus is affirming that evil is at work in this world. We know it. We see it. We read about it. We hear about it. We see it on television. And I got to tell you, from my own experience of what I have seen and experienced in ministry, the only way that I can explain certain things that I have seen and been a part of is that they were demonic. That it was beyond human capacity for the actions that were taken. When we pray, deliver us from evil, we are asking for God to stand between us and the forces of evil. And when we pray, deliver us from evil, we are praying that God will take us into God's arms for protection and victory over the forces of evil. And when Jesus gave his life on the cross at Calvary, Jesus was literally placing himself in between us and the things that destroy life. He is taking the full force of evil and defeating it once and for all for us. The Lord's Prayer acknowledges our human predicament. Evil is present in this world. Evil is large, cosmic, organized, subtle, pervasive, and real. And the powers of evil are sneaky. They disguise themselves in freedoms and in what seems to be good for us. Necessities that we cannot live without. Evil is here. There's no escaping it. There's no removing it. And there's no overcoming it on our own. But what Jesus is affirming is that evil is limited by God's power. God is standing between us and the power of evil. Therefore, we pray, deliver us from evil. Rescue us from the evil one. Stand in the way of the power of evil. Take us into the protection of your loving arms. And what we see from the teaching of Jesus as we expand it is that Jesus is not just talking about this life, but he's talking about the life to come. That we may suffer loss in this life, but what Jesus offers and promises is a grand reunion in the next. And no, we may feel that loss now. There will be fulfillment. God is always working in our future. Always working in our future to defeat evil and to bring the world to the place of God's goodness and God's love. I think this is why Paul finishes his letter to the church at Ephesus, a church challenged. He says, finally, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In practice, we can daily take on the armor of God. And when we pray for God's guidance and help, God will be there. And so what I'd like to do just as I close is to offer some practical ways that we can prepare ourselves to face this life of challenge. First, pray a favorite. These are just some things you may want to incorporate, one or two or all of them. I'm going to publish them on my blog this week. Pray a favorite scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not any of your own doing, from a gift of God. I like the prayer, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. And sometimes I even pray it in Greek just to sound like I'm smart. Kyrie eleison, Christi eleison. Memorize a psalm to pray on a daily basis. And my two favorite ones are the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, makes me lie down in green pastures. I pray that psalm every day. Our Psalm 46 is another one that I love. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in every time of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. The writer John Eldridge recommends this prayer. Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. Wow. My son, a recovering alcoholic, prays this prayer for strength each day. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Especially in times of worry and stress, temptation, pray just one phrase throughout the day. Something's going on in your life, just find a phrase. Whether it's Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, or the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Find what works for you and stop for just a few moments every couple of hours and pray throughout the day, repeating the sentence or scripture selected for that day. And finally, don't wait for a challenge or temptation to begin to pray for strength or deliverance. Pray each day to prepare for the power of God for whatever may come. I think we wait too long. Practice, practice, practice. What is sure is that God is with us to give us strength through all of life's challenges, crises, temptations. We may struggle at times and we may even feel helpless. But when our rescuer comes, and God will, we only need to accept the outstretched hand. For God rescues us from ourselves, from our desires, which will leave us empty. God fills us, nourishes us, sustains us. God loves us so much that God stands in the way of the spiritual war. And we know that evil cannot win, no matter how it may look now. Evil will not win the day. For all the holes that we may find ourselves in prison, for all the graves that we may fall into, there is none that the power of God through Jesus Christ cannot overcome. Like the man stuck in the open grave, many will say to us, you'll never get out of this. But we know God always provides a way. So let us respond to everyone who will listen. Let us tell the story, tell the story, tell the story. Just watch and see what God can do. Just watch. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you and praise you. And Lord, as we come to Holy Communion today, we offer to you the temptations that are on our hearts this day, the challenges, the problems, the temptations, the desires. And we claim you, O God, as our champion, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.